Get the lifting spirit. And everywhere you go, you want to lift people up. Amen. You want to encourage. You want to strengthen. You want to bless. Amen. Because love just lifts. Amen. And the love of Jesus lifted us, didn't it? Anybody feel like you're better off since you knew Jesus loved you? Amen. Anybody feel like you've been lifted up to a different place and a higher plane since Jesus loved you? Amen. That's it. He loves us and He lifted us. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Amen. We're going to go ahead and have our kids can be dismissed and our upper room youth would like to go. And we're going to turn to the book of Revelation chapter 13 one more time. And we're going to introduce a new character tonight in the drama of the end time. Revelation chapter 13 verse 11. John said, and I beheld another beast. Everybody say another beast. Coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth as they should make an image to the beast who had the wound by sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Let's stop there for now. Amen. We'll cover it all, but we'll just let you take a break, sit. God bless you. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Now, we have studied about three different horrific creatures in this end time event. We started out in the 12th chapter in the 9th verse talking about this great red dragon. The Bible identifies him as Satan, calls him Satan, the devil, the deceiver. And so we know who that is. And we studied last week about this beast, as he's called. He's also identified as the Antichrist, the son of perdition. And we know who that is. And he's a political leader of the end times. And what we're introducing here tonight is another beast. And the Bible defines him here and kind of gives us insight into him. And he is later on in chapter 16 and then verse chapter 19, he gets a name. He's called the false prophet. The Bible calls him the false prophet. He's a prophet, but he's false. There's been a parallel since the beginning of time between politics and religion. And they say there's two things you shouldn't talk about, right? Politics and religion. But how can you not? They're the stuff of life. Amen. I know that we can't all agree on either of those perhaps, but they're important to us. They're the stuff of life itself. All of us live under policies every day. And then who makes policies? Politicians. And that's what we call politics, or a pile of ticks, right? Amen. You know what a tick is? It's a blood-sucking insect. I'm just kidding. I'm not. And maybe I'm not, but you'll never know the difference. Politics. Now you got a new definition for politics, huh? But it's a real thing. We all know that we have to have some kind of a system of government. God instituted government. He really did. And government's important. Government can be good. The initial and God's original plan for government was a theocracy. That is, God is the king. Heaven will be a theocracy. God will be the king. And you can live under that kind of a system as long as you're willing to cooperate with the king. But we got in trouble because people didn't want to live under that system and decided they could come up with a better one. And he's given them the opportunity. We've had all kinds of isms through time. Every kind of ism there is, we've had it. And none of them have been extremely successful. All of them have difficulties, even capitalism. And we live in America under a capitalist system. And it has its great points, and it also has its weaknesses. So every system has its good and its bad. There's not any perfect one except for a theocracy, and we'll live under that in time. But all the others have failed and will fail. But we're going to see one more great, great political system arise here in the end times. And we feel it, and I see it right now being formed. I've lived in 7 decades. I remember a little bit of the 50s. I remember quite a bit of the 60s. I remember the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000, and 10 and plus. So, but I've been very aware now for at least 5 decades, and have been a pretty astute observer of what's going on, both politically and religiously or spiritually. And I've seen a tremendous shift, perhaps in the last 6 or 7 years. Tremendous, tremendous shift in so many things. Some of it's been very, very gradual, but I see things coming together, I believe, like never before. It seems like we're out of control and we can't get it back. I don't know if you feel that. That's the way I feel. When I look at the economy and the way it's headed, and we know what to do, but nobody wants to do it. The powers that be will not step in and do what's got to be done if it's going to be corrected. We keep headed in a very destructive way, and we're doing nothing to turn it around. And as far as militarily, we're a lot in the same way. We have the most powerful army in the world, but I'm afraid in some cases we're not using it very wisely. And so we've got our difficulties, folks. And it seems as if there's a plan afoot. That's what it seems to me. I'm not a conspiracy person. I never have been. I've never been a conspiracy theorist. I don't really buy into a lot of that stuff. Matter of fact, if you tell me something, I'll probably say, yeah, but then I'm going to check it out. Amen, because I've had people say a whole lot of stuff that I found out just wasn't so. Amen. And so check it out. And so I'm not being an alarmist, nor am I a conspiracy theorist tonight, but I just, in the light of prophecy, I see some things coming together like I've never seen it before, at least in my lifetime. I'm not saying how quickly it'll happen. I don't know. But I sure see it happening tonight. And it's disturbing to me. Disturbing to me as an American. And I see these things happening. So politics is a part of it. The beast is a political leader. And then the false prophet is a religious leader. And if you can get those two spears together in life, you see, you are a three-part being. All these things affect you very, very much. If things go pretty well at home in your family and in church, then those two most influential spheres in your life will make life bearable. But if at least two of those get out of order, and then of course you've got work as another big sphere of influence in your life. And so there's three things that influence you tremendously. And if two of those at least are in order, you'll be a pretty happy person. But if two of those get out of kelter and you only have one working for you, then you're going to be a pretty unhappy person. And if all three get out of order, you're sunk. Amen. And so this is life. It's made up of such things as politics and religion. We sit all the way back to Babylon, don't we? Babylon not only had a political system, but they had a religious system. Egypt not only had... You know the reason God sent the plagues the way he did? Because those plagues defied the deities of Egypt and proved to Egypt that their deities that they worshipped were powerless to stop the plagues that Jehovah sent. And so God was defying their religion. He's going to do it again in the end times. It's going to be a tremendous battle once again. You remember when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, he had his own religionists, didn't he? They're identified in the New Testament as Jannes and what's his other name? Jambres, I believe his name is. And they were political and religious figures to offset it. And they started out pretty good. They did the first three things that Moses and Aaron did, didn't they? But then they dropped out for the next seven. And they were not able to stop those things. So it's biblically a pattern that's been in the Bible all along. A lot of times there's a conflict between religion and politics. But if politics can find a partner and religion can find a partner that they can get along with, then it becomes very dangerous, really. That's why our founders of our nation put a separation between church and state. Now, that was not to protect the state from the church. That was to protect the church from the state. How do you know that? Because the reason they founded this nation in part was for religious freedom. Where they came from, the church was controlled by the state. And that wasn't working out well. We'll see that in a minute. It's going to happen again. But if each of them are separate entities and the church is not controlled by the state, nor the state controlled by the church. And so each of those out of balance is a danger. And so this beast, let's look at him here in the next few minutes. The Bible said that he comes up from the earth. Remember, the other one came out of the sea. When I think of the sea, I think of something that is rolling, something that is tempestuous, something that is moving, something that would represent more of a chaos. And so I believe the beast comes out of a time like we have right now of uncertainties and difficulties and all of that. And he's going to come with answers for all of that. We've got war in many parts of the world. We've got hatred. We've got violence. And there's discord. And he's going to be able to come out of all of that. And he's going to have some seeming answers. The Bible said when they say, peace, peace, sudden destruction cometh. But it's going to look good on paper. Yes, it is. And so that's what's coming. But this beast comes up out of the earth. That means in a time of peace. There is a religious system that's going to come forth. I'm not sure that we, at this very moment, that we can identify that. It has been identified in years past as different things, but I really feel like it's going to have more elements to it than we previously thought it was going to have. I think it's going to have some very interesting elements that are going to come together in all of this. And we see that system being born right now. We're going to talk about the religion part of it a little bit later as far as that entity. But right now, we're going to just say that we got a religious leader coming. And he comes up and the Bible said he has two horns. Notice, the other one had how many? He had 10 horns. So he's a lot more influential. He has a lot more power than this one. But this one has two horns. He does have some power. And he says he's like, if I say like, didn't say he's a lamb, he's like a lamb. Just like the devil's like a lion. He's not a lion, but he's like a lion. Amen. The lamb is Jesus Christ. And the lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus Christ. This guy comes like a lamb. He's going to try to influence like Jesus influenced. He's going to look like a man of peace. He's going to look innocent. Amen. He's going to have the appearance of being kind and gentle and loving. Isn't that what we want in a religious leader? Somebody that's kind. Somebody that's understanding. Amen. Somebody that's compassionate. He's going to have all of those seeming characteristics. But the Bible points all that out. And he spake as a dragon. In other words, he gets his voice from Satan. That's his message. He has a satanic message. Now, you won't see that on the surface. I mentioned, was it Sunday night, that there's a lot of subtleties being broadcast through all of our society, especially in entertainment, through the music industry and the movie industry, and in our educational system. There's a lot of things that if you're not really careful, you'll miss them. And you'll not understand that they are driven by an agenda. And again, I'm not a conspiracist. Amen. But they're real. They're genuine. They're there. And anybody's got eyes and spiritual sensitivity, you'll see them. And you'll know where it's headed. And it's very, very real. Very genuine. Good old Disney. Boy, they got some agendas today. And are they ever pushing them? And you can see all of those hidden messages. Now, I'm not saying that your child is warped if they've ever seen a Disney film, but I'm just saying that they're hidden there. Seeds are planted. And if they don't get somebody somewhere to correct some of that, then they'll buy into that. Because when they get to school, that's going to be enforced again. And then it's going to just happen that way. All right, so anyway, let me hurry along here. I've got a lot to cover. Verse 12 said that he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and he causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And so he works hand in glove with the Antichrist. And he causes people, notice that word causeth, he causes people to worship the Antichrist. Now, of course, they don't call him Antichrist. He'll have some other beautiful title. The Bible is showing his character here. That's why all these awful-looking beasts and all those terms, he's not going to look like that. He's going to be a human being. Probably going to be very handsome. He's probably going to be an extremely persuasive, influential person. But the underlying heart of the whole thing is beastly. And that's the end game, as it always is. So he just then people to worship this beast. Verse 13 said he doeth great wonders. Great wonders. So that he maketh fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. Fire. Pretty awesome, huh? Like at Pentecost when fire fell. And on the giving of the law at the mountain, and then later on in the upper room. And he causes fire to come down, like Elijah the prophet called fire down. But I want you to remember tonight that during the same time that the false prophet and the beast are influencing people, those two prophets of God are going to be here too. And he's going to call false fire down from heaven, and they're going to breathe out real fire and consume their enemies. It's going to be an awesome time and an awesome conflict. It's going to be coming on the earth. It's going to be a very, very interesting time, but not interesting enough that I want to be here to see it. I want to miss all this. I believe we will. And so he calls fire down, does great wonders. Now look at verse 14. It said, and he deceiveth, that's his purpose, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So, now, if you go back to the Old Testament, the Lord told Israel one time, he said, I will send false prophets among you. And he said, and they will do wonders. And I will try you. The Lord said that. God said, I want to see if you're going to follow signs and wonders or if you're going to follow me. So this is not unprecedented. God has allowed this before. And now he's going to allow it again in the end times. And many people are going to be deceived by this false prophet. Now, they don't know he's a false prophet. He's going to sound wonderful. Amen. I'm going to tell you about his church here in just a minute. And then he says to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. So they're going to, he's going to have images made to worship this beast. Now we've said this before, and this wasn't possible any other period in time, but it's possible now. It said, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as did not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So this is going to be a life or death thing. Now that's not much freedom of religion, is it? Worship the beast or die is what he's saying. But we're going to see that God has sealed some people. Remember, God already has sealed some people, and God has divinely protected some people. But others will die. Many will be slain. This is what he's doing. Now I'm going to say those last three verses and come back to them in a minute. But let's look for a moment then at this dragon, his religion. He's a religious figure. Now, how can you identify a counterfeit religion? There's three or four things I want to point out that a counterfeit religion does. Number one, it says what the world wants to hear. Was it Adlai Stevens that was running for office, and he said, it's easy to lead people. He says, just figure out where they want to go and then just get out front and lead them. Well, that's one way. I don't know that that's real leadership, but that's one way. That's really the world's way. That is to just say what the world wants to hear. It changed your message, whoever you're talking to. And if you're talking with this group, say something they like. You talk to another group, say whatever they want to hear. And that's counterfeit religion, isn't it? Amen. That's why a lot of churches, and even Christian churches so-called today, don't like to preach this Bible anymore. Because the Bible's pretty plain and straight. And it doesn't always say what people want to hear. Sometimes it gets real contrary. It's contrary to the flesh. And it's contrary to the world. And so the Bible doesn't say what people want to hear. The Bible said in the last days, one of the signs of the end, he said they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, whoever will scratch their ears and make them feel good, that's the one they'll follow. And we're seeing that, aren't we? Amen. I've heard people say, well, man, look at this church. They just started the other day and they already running 200, 300, 400, 500, 2,000, 10,000. My, look at how it's going. Yeah, but what are they preaching? What are they preaching? What's their message? If you're persuasive enough and can just say what people want to hear, they like that. You know, people like religion as long as they approve of what it says, and especially if it lets them do what they want to do and be what they want to be and doesn't try to change them in any way. They can just go and leave feeling good about themselves. Amen. But what did Jesus preach when he came? Anybody remember what his message was? Same as John the Baptist. What did he preach? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. What does the word repent mean? It means change. So he came preaching change. Now, if you read what the world says about what Jesus taught, they think he was just a rebel that was trying to stir things up politically. No, he wasn't. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He didn't come to stir up Rome. He didn't come to correct all the wrongs. He came to establish his kingdom. Isn't it right? Amen. And the kingdom of God's not meat and drink. It's not a physical kingdom, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's God's kingdom. Amen. And so a counterfeit religion says what the world wants to hear. A counterfeit religion teaches what the world wants to be taught. You know, there's a reason that people in authority, people in our government, in many cases, hate homeschooling. You've heard this quite a bit lately. And I'm not trying to get political here. And so please don't get offended about your political persuasion. I'm not indicating that. But several years ago, one of our great political leaders, I think, wrote a book that said it takes a community to raise a child. Takes a community to raise a child. In other words, what it is as we're going to plant the thought in your head that parents are not really necessary to raise a child. That the state can do a better job raising your children than you can. And that's what it's saying. And recently, there was another professor from New Orleans and Tulane made a very bold statement that said that parents don't own their children. The state owns your children. The reason these particular people of this persuasion do not want you to influence your child is because they want to influence your child. They don't want you teaching your child because they want to teach your child. Again, going back in time, and it's taking a long time to get where we are, folks, but you know, one of the founders of the American public school system was a man by the name of Dewey. He was a humanist. Did not believe in God, believes in human potential. And one of the goals was to be able to teach and to influence our children. And so we have eventually even established laws that we had to go to state schools. Now, I'm glad I have an education. It was paid for by the good folks of the state of Texas and their taxes. I appreciate that. I've tried to do a good job of that and be a good citizen. And I appreciate that. And the education I got was a good one. I grew up in a time before there was too much influence from the outside. And there were still too many good Christians in America to put up with much baloney. Matter of fact, there were too many good teachers that were just good, solid Christians. I remember when I was in the school and they taught the theory of evolution. They very, very much emphasized the fact that it was a theory. Amen. And you could tell that they didn't believe it either. But that was a while ago. I thought it was interesting that just, I believe this week, that they passed a law that we don't have to, our school districts don't have to teach a particular or get their information from this curriculum that it teaches some strange things. That for one thing, it does is it emphasizes and approves Islam above Christianity. And in its historical teachings, one of the questions it asks is, do you think that the Brits thought that the Tea Party in Boston Bay, do you think they thought they were terrorists? Why would you tell a child something like that? Why would you say something like that to a child? Why would you put that in a child's head? There's only one reason. You have an agenda. Why would you tell people that we evolved to where we are today, that this all came out of a boiling mass of green scum and amoebas that somehow formed from something we don't know how or where or when, but through billions of years we evolved to the wonderful creatures that we are, and we're getting better every day. You see, why would you tell somebody something like that? And then why would you ridicule somebody that doesn't believe it? Why would you get red-faced angry and not allow somebody else to even have an opinion? There's only one reason. You have an agenda. So a counterfeit religion wants taught what it believes, what the world wants taught. And that's where we are as a nation. Our educational system, our world today, it's wanting to teach one thing, and that is that we're all brothers, and we want peace, and so we're going to all have to sacrifice, and we're going to all have to get on the same page. We're going to all believe the same things. And we can't have all these different nations, these different kinds of governments, and these different kinds of religions. We're going to all have to get on the same page if we're going to make it through this, because we all know that we all evolved, right? And this is all there is. We've got to preserve this precious Mother Earth, because this is all there is. And it's got to last for eons and millions and billions of years. And if we mess it up, we destroy it, because there's nothing else. It's an agenda. And again, that's, if I believe that, I'd be scared to death right now. But I don't believe that. I believe that this heaven and earth will pass away with a fervent heat, and God will make new heavens and a new earth. But you see, I believe that. That's why I have hope. That's why I'm not worried about climate change. But you experience climate change every day. If you live in Texas, it can be 35 one day and 95 the next. That's climate change. So you see, that's just a term tossed about. But all I'm saying, folks, is the world has an agenda. And they're pushing it real hard. And it's coming together like never before. And it's very interesting to see it. It's interesting, but for me it's extremely sad, because I live in a better time and I would like for that to continue, but I know that it can't. And the counterfeit religion not only teaches what the world wants taught, but it enjoys what the world wants to enjoy. It pushes the things. And boy, do we ever have that in our society. North America is eaten slap up with celebrity. People can tell you about what's going on and what is it, Dancing with the Stars and all the rest of it. I mean, they can name people, they can tell you all of the stars and what's going on, but they can't even hardly name the Vice President of the United States of America. And they don't have three thoughts in their head about anything that matters. We're eaten up with celebrity. We're eaten up with materialism. Well, Brother Grissom, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Well, I know one thing. I don't know how much richer the rich are getting, but I know the poor are getting greedier. I'm not real sure how much poverty we got when everybody's got a cell phone and cable TV and computers, internet. The world's pushing this religious system. They're going to push entertainment Everybody enjoy. Enjoy life. It's all you got here, folks. This is it. You got to live, man. Live, because this is it. Once you die, it's like an old dog. Once you're dead, you just... That's it. That's what the world's teaching. And then counterfeit religion always offers institutional salvation. That if you're part of the institutional church, if you're part of the church, that's what it's going to take to be saved. Amen. I'm very thankful. I've been a member of the United Pentecostal Church my whole life. It's all I've ever known. Love the United Pentecostal Church. If I didn't, I wouldn't be in it. But I do. I love it. I believe what it teaches. I've tried its teachings. I've examined its teachings. I've studied its teachings. For 60 years, I've studied them. And I have found them to be true in face of the Bible. I've proven them over and over and over and over again. But the United Pentecostal Church will not save me. Being a member of the United Pentecostal Church and paying my dues will not save me. There's only one thing in this world that will save me, and that's my relationship with Jesus Christ. Being baptized in His name and filled with His Holy Spirit, that's the only thing that's going to save me. An institution can't save you. A church, a religion can't save you. But you see, they teach that if you're part of the institutional church, that's what's going to save you. And if you're not part of that, then you're not legitimate. There are churches that teach that if you were not married in their church, then you're not married. You're living in adultery. And they'll teach that if they didn't baptize your kids, then they're illegitimate. That's an institutional church. That's not a biblical church. That's not a biblical church. Amen. Institutional religion. And so that's what an institutional church teaches. That's what a false prophet's going to teach. It's going to try to get everybody together. Now here's the bad news, that if you don't fit in, that you're going to be killed. If you don't succumb and you don't believe and you don't cave in and you don't get in line, and you don't walk in step with them, and you don't believe what they believe, and do what they tell you, they'll kill you. That's what it said, wasn't it? The Bible said it's going to kill them if they don't believe what they said. If you don't worship the beast, it's all over for you. And so this is what's coming. Now I'm going to take a few moments in this closing moments to talk about something that we all enjoy studying, I think. The 16th verse. And He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. I did a considerable amount of study on this, and there are as many opinions as there are commentators. Of course, with Google, you can just go on forever. And some of them, of course, are anti-God and anti-religion. Music, I think it's very interesting to me that the entertainment industry actually picks up on this quite a lot, and they really push it, not understanding what they're doing. But it causes me to think that maybe there's a spirit behind it. I believe that. And so not understanding what they're getting involved in. But this is coming, the mark of the beast, and it will come. Now, I know recently we've heard that Obamacare has a passed law that says that by 3/23/13, which has already passed, you would have to have an RFID, a radio frequency identification chip, put in your hand or in your forehead, and that will have information, all of your medical records, bank records, all those things will be in there. Now, I'm going to say that is a wonderful system. There's nothing wrong with that as a system. It would be good. Anybody ever lose your wallet? That's scary, isn't it? You know, last year we had a horrible thing happen to us. Happened, I guess, right here in Athens. I don't know where else it could have happened. But somebody, they didn't get my card, but they got my number. I learned that people can put a card reader, they're real cheap. If they can get a card reader on something you use, when you use your card at a gas station or a grocery store, if they've got a card reader on there, they can get your number and they can duplicate that. And then they can make their own card and they can drain your bank account, because they did mine. I went to the bank and I looked and I didn't have any money. And I did have money. And I got to looking at the charges. And they were places I didn't buy, things I didn't spend on. But I mean to tell you, in just a very short time, they drained, which didn't take long, but they drained everything I had. Well, I'm not quite like Peter and John. I can't say silver and gold have I none, but just don't have I much. So we're a little better off than they were. But hey, they drained it. They took everything out of our bank account. So, but you see, if you have that in that little chip in your hand, they couldn't do that. Now, they will devise a way, because thieves, you know, they'll spend more time trying to find a way to get around things than they will doing an honest day's work. And eventually, they'll get there. There's no system devised by man that can't be short-circuited. They'll find a way. But anyway, and that was in the original bill, according to what I found. And again, you can read as many opinions as you want to read articles. And H.R. 3200, page 1005, that was in there. But in the final form of the bill that passed, it was not in that particular part of the bill. Doesn't mean they won't put it back in there. Doesn't mean it still won't happen. But here's what I've noticed, is that they push these things, and then when they get too much outrage, they'll step back, because they know it's not time yet. There's still too many people that know. I saw something in Colombia when I was there, missionary, that shocked me. I saw an ad for, I don't remember if it was a Visa card or a MasterCard. And I saw this with my own eyes. I'm not telling you something I heard. I'm telling you something I saw. And on that placard, it had all these people enjoying life and buying stuff and with their card, and all of them had a 666 on their hand and in their forehead. It had it on the poster. If I'd had a camera on my phone like I do now, I could have taken a picture back then. If I could have remembered, I had a phone on my camera. But back then we didn't have that. But I saw that. Now, you probably won't see that in the United States of America, because there's too many people that know about it here. This system is already being put in force. There are people that have that system set up. Now, I'm not saying that particular RFID is the mark of the beast. I'm not saying that. But if it's not, it's a forerunner. Just as a Social Security number was a forerunner. It's not the mark of the beast. But it was a system of numbering that got us into a mindset. Credit cards were another step in that direction. So you see, those are not the mark of the beast. It's just a step by step. You understand what I'm saying here tonight? You see where we're going with this? It's just getting us away from the idea of having to have money. Boy, then, you remember when debit cards came out? A lot of people don't even carry money anymore. They just have a debit card. That's all they use. Never use anything else, just a debit card. And that's where we are in our world. I mean, you can go through McDonald's and use it. You can go to Whataburger or Sonic and just get a drink and just use your debit card. You don't have to have any money. Matter of fact, they're just trying to get away from the stuff, and that's where we're headed, to get away from it. And they want that. And that's where we are, folks. I'm just saying that the system is in place. We have the ability. As a matter of fact, if you look on anything that you buy, I'm sure it's on this bottle of water here. Anything that you buy has a UPC symbol. What is that? A universal product code symbol. It's on everything that you buy, and there's one right there on this bottle. And each one of those UPC symbols have 666 in it. All of them do. It is a perfect system, and it's in all of those. Now that's not the mark of the beast, but it will tie in with that system. Doesn't mean, because if you can't buy anything, if you don't buy anything with that on there, then you're going to have to quit buying. You're going to have to go back. I don't know what you're going to do. But that's been around for a while, hasn't it? The universal product. But I'm just telling you that's there. What I'm saying is, as we have seen this system building, all of my life it's been building. I know some of the elders would not take a Social Security card because they thought it was preached at that time as being, by some, as being the mark of the beast, and they wouldn't receive that. I know people lived their whole life and never had a Social Security card. They wouldn't take it. It's not the mark of the beast, but it was a numbering system that set us in an order to get there. And all of these systems. Now, here's the funny thing is, if somebody hears this tape and this message, and they're going to ridicule and say, "Oh, you really believe that?" Yeah, I do. Because I believe what it says right here in Revelation chapter 13. No, that was not the mark of the beast, but it was setting in order a system that we know is coming. And if you don't believe that, just hang on. If you get to live long enough, you'll see it. Because it's on the way. I don't know exactly what it's going to be. He said it's the number of a man. The number of man is 6. Man was created on the 6th day. God's number is 7. Our number is 6. 666, 666, 666, for infinity will never be 7. Because we'll never get up to God's level. Where the number of a man will always be the number of a man. The devil counterfeits. He gets as close to God as he can, but he can never get to God. He can never get to God's level. But he's going to try. So he's going to set up his utopia, as he calls it, on the earth. And it's going to look like a utopia for some for a very short period of time. And then God is going to wreck the party. As I was researching some of this, I found some shocking stuff, folks. There was one guy holding a sign. He said, "Come on back, Jesus. We'll kill you again." I got news for him. He died one time. The angel said he's alive forevermore. Amen. The next time he comes, he's not going to be Mary's little baby, meek and mild. But the Bible said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that man. You better believe his knees are going to hit the dirt. His mouth's going to open up and his tongue is going to say, "Jesus Christ, you are the Lord." Now, he may hate him, but he won't kill him. Amen. One of them said the reason that he hasn't come back is because he's scared of our nuclear weapons. Isn't that silly? Silly. If you don't believe in God, I guess it is. I guess you could believe some of that baloney. But, if you're going to believe in God, believe in the big one. And I do. Amen. I believe in one that he's already got it all set up. You know what? Our whole atmosphere is made up of gases. Explosive gases. We got oxygen out there. We wouldn't be here. And we got nitrogen, hydrogen, all kinds of gases in our atmosphere. I don't know why this thing don't blow up, but it don't. God mixed it all together just right. And one of these days, he said, God's going to unmix it, I guess. And it's going to just go up in smoke, folks. Amen. God's going to renew it, make it new, make it fresh, make it clean, make it right. Amen. You think he's worried about a few bombs? He's going to turn it right back on their head. Plus, how are you going to shoot a bomb at God anyway? He's a spirit. And maybe they don't know this, but there's a thing called gravity. And what goes up must come down. And you're going to miss God that's going to come back and get you. Anyway, there's a lot of fallacy out there. But what it revealed to me is the animosity in the world, the hatred of God and Christianity. I've never seen this in my lifetime. There's always been atheism and agnosticism, but I've never seen the animosity and the pure hatred that I'm seeing today. That's the thing that's different. It's driven by the spirit of Antichrist. That's what it's driven by. Amen. And so this number, it will be given. And now, I do believe that the church will be gone before that mark is required. I don't believe that we're going to be here for that system. But it's being set up now. And it will be received, and people will gladly. And they're not going to be talking about Antichrist and beast and false prophet. No, sir. As far as they're concerned, they're the real deal. We're the counterfeit. We're the weirdos. We already are. We're the ones that are causing all the problems, right? Yeah, we're homophobic and we're against everybody and against everybody. We hate everybody. I don't know where they ever got that idea, but goodness gracious, if you listen to them, that's the way we are. We're just a bunch of haters. No, we're not. Amen. Jesus taught us to love everybody. He said, even love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Didn't he say that? Praise God. As a matter of fact, he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples because you have love one unto another. The Bible talks about the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Christians, we love. We don't hate. But they're betraying us simply because we preach against what the world loves. That we hate them. Well, I got to quit. Let's stand together. You know, I saw this spirit come to the forefront in the 70s when there was a lot of rebellion against parents. And that's what it is. But in our society, government has replaced parents as the object of this hatred and this ire. What I mean by government is any kind of restraint. The reason rebels hated their parents is because they didn't want any restriction in their life. They didn't want any boundaries in their life. They didn't want any do's and don'ts in their life. So they hated them. Now they don't want a government either that restricts them in any way. They don't want a church that restricts them in any way. Let me live my life and do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, and you pay for it. Because you owe it to me. Just because I'm breathing and I live. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's in our world today. It's vibrant. Amen. It's throbbing and alive today. Amen. I can see it. I can feel it all around me. Amen. Praise. But you know what's going to happen to this false prophet? The Bible tells us in the 16th chapter, the Bible talks about the sixth vial that's poured out. And it said in a this unclean spirit, he said, it's like a frog coming out of his mouth. You know what a frog is? Frogs are cold and clammy. ugly spirit. You know something I don't understand about frogs? I lived in West Texas most of my life. When I grew up as a boy, I grew up in the middle of a cotton patch. West Texas is dry. During the time of Noah's flood, we got 3 inches. Well, maybe it wasn't that bad. But out there, when they talk about a 6-inch rain, that means that the drops are 6 inches apart. That's how you measure 6-inch rain. I was dry where I grew up. But whenever it did rain, it got serious about it. And I mean, it would dump it all out at one time. And in the cotton patch where I live, well, it would be flooded. There'd be, I mean, water would be standing in the rows. You know what was so interesting? It would rain, and a few hours after the rain, you'd hear all these frogs croaking. Where in the world did they come from? I hunted everything that moved, and some things that didn't. And if there had been frogs, I would have found them. But as soon as it rained, you'd hear them croaking, and we'd be out chasing them, catching them. Where in the world these things come from? If they were buried, they had to be 10 foot down. But somehow, it rained, here they come. Frogs everywhere. You'd have thought you was in Egypt. It's amazing. Never understood that. Still don't understand that. But there's a frog spirit. The Bible calls them lying spirits. And they go out and they deceive kings and political leaders. This man's going to be so influential. He's going to be able to lie to kings and potentates and political leaders and make them believe him. Going to be very influential. Amen. But in chapter 19, verse 20, the Bible said that when the Lord comes, amen. Let me just read a little of this, okay? Look at chapter 19, verse 11. Amen. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of all the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.